Now, if you know me, you probably know that I love fishing. I love the places that fish are caught, from picture-perfect lakes to pristine rivers and even the enormous and beautiful ocean. I love the thrill of catching the fish as the rod bends and the reel screams and the fish jumps out of the water during the fight. I even love eating the fish, whether they're crumbed or battered and fried with chips, or cooked in the pan and served with a slice of lemon. I love everything about fishing. But you see, fishing isn't always like that. Fishing is often a waiting game, where you set up your rod, you pick your lure or your bait, and you make your cast, and then you wait. You wait, and you wait, and you wait, often in the blowing wind or in the sea spray. And you wait for a fish to come along and to have a nibble on the end of your line. And sometimes they do, and it's amazing. But other times, they don't. And sometimes you have to wait and wait, and you don't catch a thing. But every fisherman that's worth his salt will tell you, you need to be patient and prepared. Always diligent, always ready, setting the bait, casting the lines, rods and rigs, all set and ready, ensuring that everything on your part is prepared. Because if you're not, and all of a sudden a fish comes along, well, you just might lose it. And all of that waiting would have been for nothing. You see, as a fisherman, I've learned that as I wait, looking forward to the fish, I must be diligent. Prepared, always ready for that moment when, bang, a fish comes along for a bite. Now, in our passage today, Jesus continues to teach a large crowd that has been following him around, and he's using parables to teach them. Now, for many of us, parables can be kind of cryptic in their messages, and in some cases they are. But sometimes they're used to help people understand spiritual realities from an earthly perspective. And in our reading today, Jesus continues to point us toward the kingdom of God and how we are to live as we wait for its full consummation in the world. So come with me as we look to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning at verse 32. Jesus says this, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see, here Jesus points us to what we have to look forward to. The kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is greater than all the fish in the sea. It's better than owning a house without debt. It's more valuable than all the money in the world. God's kingdom, the paradise that puts all earthly paradises to shame. But why is it so valuable and desirable? Surely we can be content having the things that we have now. Why do we need the kingdom of God? Well, brothers and sisters, it's true that God calls us to be content with what we have in this world. You see, God has given us these things, and so we can live our lives content with what he's given us. Yet, the reason he calls us to be content now is because of what we will receive in the world to come. In the coming of God's kingdom, we will have more than we can ever imagine. You see, lots of people like to think of the kingdom of God as a place where they can do all the things that they enjoy doing now. Maybe you like fishing like me. You probably think the kingdom of God is a fishing paradise where you catch all the fish all the time and you hardly have to wait. I don't know. That might be true. And it might be true that we can do some of the things that we enjoy in heaven. But you see, that's not what makes God's kingdom the heavenly paradise that it is. You see, what makes God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, so great is that we get to be with God himself. We will be with him, walking with him, talking with him, face to face. We will see him as he is, his immeasurable beauty. You see, we only experience his beauty in part as we live in this world. You see, when we look to the beauty of God's creation, the mountains and the valleys, the streams and the lakes, the seas and the storms, and the glory of the night sky, all of it displays only a fraction of the beauty and the power of God. But you see, in God's kingdom, we will see the creator of this beautiful creation. We will see him in all his beauty and power. We will see him, the redeemer of our souls, as he is. And our faith will become sight. You see, when that great day comes, when Christ calls us good and faithful servants and calls us to enter into the place that he has prepared for us, all that will be left for us to do is to fall down in worship. Because we will be in the presence of this beautiful and glorious God. You see, brothers and sisters, this is why Jesus says to sell your possessions and give alms, to make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. You see, nothing in this world can compare to the riches of being with God in his kingdom. So instead of hoarding up all the things that we have now and trying to build a kingdom for ourselves on earth, Jesus calls us to be generous, selling what we have and giving freely to all. Because our true treasure is stored up for us with God in his kingdom. And that can never be lost. But you might be thinking, well, that's easy for you to say, but you might not have realized that these times are tough. Interest rates are rising, inflation is skyrocketing. How can we afford to be generous with our goods when we can barely keep up with the day-to-day expenses? Well, brothers and sisters, no doubt the times are tough. And it seems that the times will only get harder for the foreseeable future. But that doesn't mean we're excused from the generosity that God calls us to. You see, God doesn't call us to give abundantly and generously only if we can afford to do so. But rather, he calls us to give abundantly and generously because he has given us all the riches that we could ever need. Don't you see that through your faith in Jesus, you have an inheritance that is more precious than gold? And that inheritance is the kingdom of God. And you see, it's God's good pleasure to give this to us. Through the work that Jesus has accomplished, he gives this to us freely. Therefore, we can be generous out of the abundance that we have in Jesus, investing our earthly riches to promote the spread of the kingdom of God on earth, so that others might also share in the riches of God found in Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, in these hard times when it can be easy to hold back on giving generously, know that you have an abundance of riches stored up for you in God's kingdom. So set your heart on those riches, not on these earthly ones that cannot even be compared. You see, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So let's set our hearts on our treasure with God in heaven. Yet as good as the kingdom of God will be, Jesus also calls us to look forward to the coming of its king. And so he continues in verse 35. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. You see, Jesus now presents another parable, this time pointing us to his return and how we should be waiting for him in this world. He says a master has gone to a wedding banquet and he will be away for some time. And so he's entrusted his house and all his goods to his servants. Yet, unlike weddings in our culture, weddings in Jesus' day were multiple day events, perhaps even weeks. You see, this is no small thing that this master has given to these servants. They have a great responsibility to care for all these things for quite a long period of time. And just like these servants, Jesus calls us to be prepared and dressed and ready, always expectant and eager, faithfully waiting for the return of the Master, for the return of Jesus, as soon as he returns and knocks on the door of this world. So Jesus continues in verse 37. Blessed are those slaves whom the Master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. You see, here Jesus shows us how these servants will be rewarded for their faithfulness. The master himself will reward them by serving them. Isn't that an amazing picture? Maybe imagine it this way. You've gone to work and you've done your job that your boss expects you to do. But then, on the weekend, your boss shows up to your house and starts to cut your grass, do your dishes, cook your meals, and clean your house. It's unthinkable, isn't it? Yet this is how gracious Jesus is. In fact, he shows us this in his life as he served and healed all those who were discarded by society, and in his death as he sacrificed himself so that we might be saved. And when Jesus returns to find his faithful servants eagerly waiting for him and performing their duties, he will also lovingly serve them. He will show them the place that he has prepared for them in God's kingdom. But now Jesus then presents another parable, and this time from a slightly different angle. So let's look at verse 39. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. Now Jesus presents his coming, but this time in a negative sense. So put yourself in this parable. Imagine someone has told you that your house is going to be broken into on this date and at such a time. They presented you with evidence that shows, well, these are the thief's plans, so you know it's true. What do you do? Well, I'm sure that you would be prepared, wouldn't you? You probably set up a security system, some cameras and alarms, some extra strong locks on all the doors, and maybe even call police or security to guard your house at this exact same time and day. You see, Jesus says, in that exact same manner, we must also be prepared, always ready, always vigilant for the coming of Christ. Why? Well, Jesus says in verse 40, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus will come like a thief in the night at an unexpected hour. When everyone is going about their usual business, all of a sudden, he will knock on the door of this world. He will break in rolling back the sky like a scroll. With the sound of the archangel's trumpet, he will come on the clouds with all power and authority as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It will be an amazing and awesome and indeed a fearful day that will all of a sudden come upon us. And so we must be ready, always. So, brothers and sisters, as we live in these uncertain and stressful financial times, let's look forward to the kingdom of God and the riches that we will inherit in that place. Let's look forward to the kingdom of God and live as its citizens now, giving generously, helping the needy, and investing into his gospel work on the earth. Let's eagerly and faithfully wait for the coming of King Jesus, always being faithful with all that he set before us and always ready for his return. Because he will indeed come like a thief in the night. So let's live expectantly, always prepared, always looking forward to that day when he will return to give us the place that he has prepared for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus into the world. And we thank you that as he lived the life we couldn't live and died the death that we deserve and indeed rose and is at your right hand, that he promises to return to finish his work, that he will bring in the kingdom of God in its fullness to earth, and he will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all. And so we pray, help us to look forward to that day. Help us to live generously and graciously, knowing that our inheritance is with him in your kingdom, and that can never be taken away or lost. To help us to look forward to that day. In Jesus' name. Amen.